Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh, there's Chuck, there's Jerry, and this is the abbreviated version of Stuff You Should Know, Short Stuff.
That's right. In this one, we're going to talk about, as dumb hippie liberals, we're going to talk about our favorite thing, snowflakes.
Oh, man.
It's funny how that got co-opted, because I think it's quite a compliment. I'm like, yeah, I am an individual.
I know.
I am unique.
You want to know what you do when somebody calls you a snowflake? You just smile and twirl to show them all you got.
Yep, and say, who doesn't love snowflakes?
I love being a snowflake.
So here's the deal. The whole point of this 14 minutes that you're going to undertake with us is the old, not wives' tale, because it's true, the old notion that snowflakes are actually unique. Every single snowflake is actually unique. And the answer to that, we're happy to say, is yes.
It certainly seems to be the case.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I feel like we've done something on this, like maybe in one of our short videos before, something like that.
Maybe.
But I wonder if we said the opposite. But now that we did this research, I'm like, how could we possibly have said the opposite? It's just not, it's not possible.
Yeah, I mean, we should say that a lot of snowflakes, and we're going to go through how they're formed, but in the very early stages, snowflakes can be pretty identical. And even in the end, sometimes they can be similar, but technically they are all unique.
Right.
Because so many different things can affect each individual snowflake along the way that there's just no way that they could be the same.
Yeah, it takes a mind-boggling number of factors and inputs, each of which, variables, I guess you'd call them, each of which can change, and just change to one of them, got a different snowflake. Changed to a couple, it got an even more different snowflake. There's just so many different things that go into making a snowflake that, yeah, it's just not possible that they're not all unique. But to understand all this, you have to understand how a snowflake is made. And by golly, Chuck and I are just the people to tell you.
All right, so we did some, I think it was our Happy Clouds episode, which was really terrific quite a few years ago, which you can refer to if you want a longer explanation. But when rain, or in this case snow, falls out of the sky, it starts down on the surface of the earth as water that evaporates from our lakes, our oceans, our rivers, rises up into the atmosphere as water vapor, and sometimes that can form a happy puffy cloud.
It can. And then depending on the type of cloud, and if it's cold enough, which it usually is, some of that water vapor will condense around, say, like a piece of dust or something like that. It will condense in from water vapor, which is a gas, into liquid, which is a liquid, water. And usually it does it around like a piece of dust or something that nucleates it. But another way to say it is it reaches its dew point, the point or the temperature where it changes from vapor into liquid. And as it does that, if it's cold enough, it will then turn into ice. And what you have is basically the beginning standard template of a snowflake, which if you stopped and said, okay, right now, are all snowflakes alike?
Mm-hmm.
You would say, yeah, they're pretty similar, sure. We'll go with that. But that's just like the beginning of the snowflake. It's the basis of it. It's the, like I said, the template that all snowflakes start from. And it's usually just a little six-sided hexagonal plate.
Yeah, so you have these little tiny ice crystals. They start floating around in the sky and smashing and colliding with other water vapor molecules along the way. And every time it does that, it collects, It sort of contacts these crystals. And it sort of just starts collecting the stuff and getting a little more solid and a little more substantial all around that little original nucleus that was where they were all similar to one another.
Right. And then so this snowflake, as it's kind of moving around up in the atmosphere, like I'm building, I'm growing, it runs into other water vapor. And that water vapor, rather than going through the trouble of moving from a gas to a liquid to a solid, which is, you know, an ice crystal, it goes through what's called deposition. It goes straight from water vapor into a solid.
Yeah.
And attaches to that snowflake template. And as it does so, it will start to form some of the more intricate details of that snowflake. And that happens again and again and again and again. And you get layer after layer after layer of ice crystals forming on this plate. And all of a sudden you have like arms that stick out, and those arms start to get detailed. And now the snowflake is starting to take shape. So you've got water vapor that freezes and starts to attract other water vapor that freezes onto it that starts to give snowflakes their size and their shape. But there's lots more variables involved.
That's right. And we'll take a little break here. We're going to come back and talk about the remaining formation of snowflakes right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
All right, so you mentioned that it was hexagonal,
mm-hmm.
Or did you say hexagonal?
I think I said hexagonal, like a dum-dum.
And so, you know, you've got these little arms sticking out, and sometimes on the edge of these arms, there are little jagged, it's sort of like jagged, like a serrated knife. And these uneven areas, it's, you know, exactly what you think. Because they're uneven and stuff sticking out a little farther, it's going to attract even more water molecules mm-hmm. than it would if it was smooth and uniform, like other parts of that same snowflake. So that's how you build out when you think of like, or if you see a, you know, a microscopic view of a snowflake, those are what those little arms and those little jagged crystals sticking off that make it so beautiful. That's what's going on there.
Right. And like you said, because these arms are kind of like sticking out there, they're attracting more and more water vapor that's sticking to them, and it's building out and growing out into this larger, more intricate, more detailed crystalline structure. So once you have those arms, it seems to be almost like a, I don't want to say a tipping point, you know why, but that is what happens. And all of a sudden, the snowflake starts to really take shape.
Yeah, and here's where the environment comes into play, because depending on a lot of different factors, like temperature, obviously, humidity, like really, really, really cold temperature,
mm-hmm.
that will really vary what kind of snowflakes, like size and shape that you're going to get.
Yeah, and I was like, why temperature? So temperature is a measure of the movement, the energy of like molecules or atoms or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out why the lower the temperature, the more intricate the snowflake got.
Yeah, what is that?
Everything I saw was just basically like, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to have to go with too, basically, is it's just the way it is. If you understand why that is the case, please tell us, because we want to know, right?
But yeah, like those, when you think of those, they describe it as fern-like arms, mm-hmm. like those awesome-looking arms with all the little jagged things sticking off. That's when it's like prime snowflake time, when it's super, super cold.
Right, precisely. You've got extra moisture, like if it's a little more humid, mm-hmm. that's going to affect the shape of the snowflake. It's going to make them fatter usually. And then lower temperature. So if you got somehow higher humidity, lower temperature, that's when you get your true money snowflakes that people like put on the cover of National Geographic.
Yeah, lower humidity is flatter.
Mm-hmm.
Higher is fatter. Is that right?
That's the rhyme that I was raised with.
And like you said, if it's super humid and super mm-hmm. cold, that's the rock star?
Yes.
Okay.
So, okay, that's the physics of making a snowflake. There's all those different variables. There's some other ones too, like snowflakes that are forming will collide with one another, then some of their arms will break off. So that will then attract even more ice crystals. So that's going to change the shape of it. The different conditions that form, that are all factors and variables in the forming of a snowflake, all of those things change from cubic centimeter or cubic millimeter of air between one next to another. So a snowflake that forms in this one part or is passing through this one part of the atmosphere
yeah.
is going to be subject to these variables, but the same variables will be totally different, you know, a couple of cubic centimeters over. So you've got all these different variables that are coming into it. And apparently when you add these variables up, there becomes a mind-boggling number of different possible combinations of snowflake shapes and crystalline structure, so much so that it just seems basically impossible that over the current age of the universe, certainly over the current age of Earth, that enough snowflakes have fallen that two of them could ever have been alike.
Yeah, so they estimate as many as a quintillion number of molecules or mm-hmm. quintillion molecules in a single snowflake, and that the possible combinations of all these molecules and potential combinations mm-hmm. are two times as many as atoms as there are atoms in the entire universe.
So I looked that up.
Could that be possible?
That's what this article says.
Yeah.
the number of atoms in the universe is either between 10 to the 78th power and 10 to the 82nd power, total atoms in the universe, which is between 10 quadrillion vigintillion
and you 100. You just made that up.
No, I swear to God. And 100,000 quadrillion vigintillion atoms. So twice that.
You literally just sounded like a 10-year-old.
I know. I
felt like a 10-year-old. Million, quintillion, billion, gillion.
Basically. So there's that many different possible combinations of snowflakes. And that's just the structure. If you take into account the different water molecules that come together, what time span would it take
yeah.
for enough snowflakes to fall and enough of this snowflake formation to happen that all of those same water molecules happen to come together again, and that snowflake happens to take the same form because it's exposed to the same variables? It probably will never, ever, ever happen.
Yeah. I mean, a tiny fleck of dust can change the crystals.
Yeah.
The angle where, you know, we're talking about how they collide with one another, it's like a car crash. If you get T-boned, your car's going to look different than if you get hit head on.
Right.
And it's the same there. Depending on the angle in which they collide, that's going to change the shape of the snowflake. So it really seems true that there may have never been two snowflakes exactly alike. In the end.
You may be the first human being to ever use a car crash to illustrate how snowflakes can be different.
Oh, goodness.
So that's why, everyone, you can go around and feel very confident explaining to all of your friends and coworkers and loved ones that It is true. No two snowflakes are alike. They're all unique and different. And if you want to get in touch with us about this, you can go on to our website, stuffyoushouldknow.com, check out our social links there, and you can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.